Welcome to another podcast by Every Nation Brisbane. We're so glad you can join us here today. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at enbrisbane.org. Please enjoy the following message.
Lord, we just thank you so much for all that has been shared already. Thank you for the time we've worshipped you and we sense your presence in this place. Thank you for the message of the offering, Lord, and how we were so encouraged to seek you. And Lord, even the time of just fellowshipping one with another, we are so encouraged already. So Lord God, now I pray that, Lord, you would impart the word of faith for all of us. I believe every time that we meet with you, Lord God, nothing happens by accident. God, you are here with us. You want to do something. You want to impart something. You want to move in our hearts, in our lives, in our situations. And I'm believing and praying for all of us. Something's going to happen today. God, something's going to ignite in our spirit. Faith is going to rise up that we're going to begin to pray different. We're going to begin to believe different. Lord, I'm believing, Lord God, that things are going to begin to change in our atmosphere, in our home, in our workplace, in our schools. So, Father, we just say, pour it out, Lord God, today. All that you have for us, Lord God, do that in our lives. We just thank you, Lord, for bringing us here. We know you have a word for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Can we give the Lord praise? Come on. Thank you, Lord. Amen. All right. You may be seated. I just want to just say that our loss is your gain. It was a huge step of faith for us to release Pastor Nelly and Tina. They were, to us, the life of the party. Wherever they went, we were going to have fun. They always brought life. And so we miss them. We miss them so much. And in fact, the more you were going to talk, the more I was going to start crying just because we miss them so much. And during the worship, I was just taking videos. Pastor Nelly, it was amazing. Of course, Tina too, because Pastor Nelly took Tina's job. Tina was the worship leader. And then when they got married, he took her job. Yeah. They raised up a tremendous team. They raised up about 100 people involved in our worship ministry and produce albums and tremendous blessing. Actually, Pastor Nelly is one of the greatest worship leaders in our movement. And he is such a blessing to our Every Nation world. So thank you for sharing him with all of us and the world. So you are so blessed to have this couple. Amen? Amen. All right. Have you dressed in that Chewbacca? No? Okay. Anyway. Okay. Well, they saw it now. Okay. This is my family. Just in case you think that I'm like 25 years old. My oldest son is 26. We're going to be married 28 years this year. My second son is 21. He'll be finishing his last semester of engineering. Then he's entering the national service. In Singapore, every man has to serve 2 years of military service. So he is preparing us because he said, Dad, I want to be a commando. So he's working out and working on it and cut his hair short. I mean, if you knew him, he had long hair before, so he cut it short. He's preparing, so that's his goal. He wants to be a commando. That means you jump out of planes and parachute and all that, so we're praying anyway for him. The one that's causing us to pray a lot this time is my daughter. She's turning 18, and she told us that she wants to go to Hollywood and be an actress, and we're like, I said, do you know how wicked Hollywood is? Are you sure? And she said, Dad, don't you think I can be a light in a dark place? I said, yeah, okay. You know, so we need a lot of prayer for my daughter. Pray for us. It was because of Tina. Tina got her into acting. Tina was the famous phoenix or swan or peacock. I can't remember what you were. Yeah, I have a photo of Tina. No, I don't. Tina was a famous actress. I don't know if you know that in Singapore. So anyway, that's my family and of course my wife. And my wife is full Chinese and I am half American Indian and half Japanese. So I'm kind of all mixed up. Both my parents were saved by missionaries. My dad was saved by a missionary in Hawaii. Then he got saved. He went back, told his Japanese Buddhist parents that he became a Christian and they scolded him and they said, but it's okay, you can still go to church, so you learn good English. So they let him go to church. And 2 years later, they got saved. His brothers got saved. I had aunties, uncles. We had a family revival from a 14-year-old that received Christ through a vacation Bible school. And so we have uncles and aunties that are all, you know, pastors and elders in churches. So it's amazing. And my mom is an American Indian. All her side of the family, they're all medicine men and women, which is like witch doctors. So when she became a Christian through also missionaries, that she began to see angels, and the Lord began to just show her. She's one that always prophesies and always sees visions and all of this, but she began to see angels protecting her all the time. Can you imagine the demonic forces fighting back and forth? She said that, well, long story short, almost all of her brothers and sisters accepted the Lord as well. And it was about maybe about 10 years ago, we went back to New Mexico, where she's from, and we all have Indian names. I have to tell this one, okay? So my Indian name is Flower Mountain. Oh, you see? I would tell people that, and they always laugh, okay? So I wanted a new Indian name. So 10 years ago, I went back, and I told my mom and my family I wanted a new Indian name. So all my family, they got so excited about it, they all started throwing out names. So my uncles were saying, you know, why don't you take my name, Thunderbird? And I was like, whoa, that's awesome. So I was telling my mom, I said, can I take uncle's name? And she says, you don't want that one. That's a medicine man name. And I said, oh, okay, I don't want that one. Then my other uncle says, why don't you take Flying Eagle? That's his name. And my mom said, no. Okay, so all these names, like going back and forth, I couldn't take. And finally, the oldest one in the family, which was my auntie, was the one that's supposed to give the name. So after 1 week, they observed me. She said, I'll observe you for 1 week. So the end of the week came, brought all the family together, about 25 of us. And so we're all sitting down in the room. And then she stands up. She says, okay, today we are going to give Larry his new Indian name. And his new Indian name is Standing Spruce. And all of us were actually quiet. We're like, what in the world is a spruce? And so I said, Auntie, what's a spruce? And then she brings me outside, and she shows me on the mountain is these 20, 30 foot tall trees, straight and narrow. She says, that's a spruce. That's a spruce tree. She said, that's you. That's your character, straight and tall. And so I was like, all right, I'll take that one. But then I made it worse, because I realized in the Indian culture, you don't lose your name, you add on to your name. So my Indian name is now Flower Mountain Standing Spruce. So don't add on to your name. You know, okay, anyway, don't ask for a new name. Okay, anyway. So anyway, that's me and my family. Okay, our church just celebrated our 20th anniversary, and this year we're making 21. So we rented a big auditorium, and we had 2,000 over people show up, and it was just an amazing time. And we had Pastor Steve Merle share with us. And, you know, I wanted to show this because last year, I think, was an amazing year for us. It was a breakthrough year, but it was a really difficult year. And some things that, you know, the Lord does in our lives and brings a breakthrough, it doesn't come without a cost. And so we have to prepare ourselves. But, you know, just to show you that, the Lord did it. We had a great celebration. And then we just recently celebrated our karate hub. We had Malaysians, we had Indonesian pastors, and our India pastors, and a lot of us Singaporeans. But Pastor Paul Barker taught us hermeneutics and homiletics, so hopefully I can preach better today. But this is something that we like to do, and I just want to honor your church for hosting this Oceana cluster, because you're welcoming the bigger body of Christ. And I tell you what, you're going to be blessed for it. You know, as you open your heart and be a blessing, you're going to get blessed. And so we've seen that in Singapore, and I know God will bless you as well. So today I want to talk to you about this. And as Pastor Nelly was saying, that I flow in the prophetic gifting, and I want to pray for some people at the end of the service if I have time. Okay, but I believe that the Lord is bringing a new season into your church. And there is actually, the Lord gave me a word from the beginning of this year that this year we're going to see a prayer revival. And as you've heard maybe about, as Pastor Nelly was sharing, about in the States today, or actually today, and April 9th, yesterday, there was 100,000 people just praying and believing for a revival. There is a prayer revival that's happening around the world. And I believe that something's being started here, that God is stirring your heart to begin to pray. Why is it so important? Because if you look in the book of Acts and you look at, you know, how the early church started, you go back to the beginning, right, of Acts chapter 1. He says, wait for the promise, and then the outpouring of the Spirit in chapter 2. And then from there was amazing healings of the lame man. Then in chapter 4, you see some rise of the boldness. Well, you see it a bit in chapter 2 as well with Peter, but you see a greater boldness that the disciples had. I believe that as you begin to pray and hunger for the presence of God, there's going to come a new boldness. A new boldness to pray, a new boldness to reach out, and a new boldness to believe for miracles. You know what? I've heard this. I don't know if the statistic has changed, but I've heard that in Australia, the percentage of Christians is about 4%. In order for that to change, we not only got to pray, but we got to believe for miracles and breakthroughs. Come on. And that's going to happen when we begin to step out by faith. So I'm speaking this word maybe more as a prophetic word, that we would take it as a nation here to believe for breakthrough. Come on. Amen. So we're going to look at a few things here, and I'm going to start off with chapter 4. As I said, this was after the healing of the layman. They began to get criticized. Peter and John got criticized for it. And sometimes you may think that, you know, why do you get attacked for doing good things or doing the things that, you know, you pray for someone and then maybe they don't receive it and they criticize you? And sometimes you have that feeling of, oh, why did I help this person anyway? I prayed for them, and all I get is criticized. And then you feel like, I don't want to do that anymore. Well, I want to encourage you that even more so we need to pray, because the enemy's trying to stir something up. He's trying to stop them from receiving the word of God. And so we need to pray. And so that's what happened with Peter and John. They got criticized for healing the layman. Here it says in Acts 4:10, it says, "Let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead. By him, this man is standing before you well. There is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and they perceived that they were uneducated, common men, they were astonished, and they recognized that they had been with Jesus. Come on, everybody say common. Okay, not that famous singer, but what, you know, common, we are normal people. And I love this about the Word of God, is he always uses normal people. Come on, I grew up in Hawaii. I grew up in a small little town called Kaloa. Anybody heard of Kaloa? No, because it's so small, nobody knows of Kaloa. But, you know, God uses ordinary people. And as we avail ourselves to him, we're so amazed at what God's going to do. And so, you know, as this word says that they were ordinary men, they knew that they had been with Jesus. So I want to just share two quick thoughts. Bold confidence is based on relationship. And the more we spend time with Jesus, the more confidence we have in him. Now, there's a difference between self-confidence and God confidence. We all know that. Self-confidence is more based on, you know, your talents, your abilities, and based on performance. But God's confidence is based on who he is and spending time with him. And so, you know, you can see that in the early disciples, you know, Peter, you know, standing up and kind of like putting his foot in the mouth many times. And but, you know, Peter and John, they started off maybe with a self-confidence. You know, and Peter kind of chops the guy's ear off, the soldier's ear off. And so they had confidence, but it was confidence in their abilities. Even John was called the son of thunder. And John, you know, was the one that was saying, Lord, when they didn't receive Jesus in Samaria, he says, Lord, should we call fire down from heaven and consume them? You know, I mean, this is the guy that's supposed to be called the beloved. I mean, there was some sort of self-confidence on them, and there was a process in their lives that the Lord was teaching them to have more God confidence rather than the self-confidence. And I felt like for many of us, that's the process that we're in. We have to learn to get off of that self-confidence more into the God confidence. Because when we have more of the God confidence, then we're able to do great and mighty things for the Lord. See, many times, and as I see in Scripture, I see that God calls us into steps of faith that are walking into the deep, into places where it seems impossible. You know, all these great heroes of the faith, you know, they had to step out, you know, where they couldn't, they've never done it before, but they were stepping out. And I love the story of, also I would ask this question, have you ever felt out of your depth? You know, have you ever felt, you know, that it was beyond your ability, that you couldn't handle it? And so that's the place where you need to cry out and say, God, I need your confidence. You know, when we started the church, we were 8 people. And as the Lord grew us, you know, we had to totally trust in the Lord and believe that God was going to move and God was going to do a miraculous thing. When we started, the Lord gave me this word in Daniel 11:32. It says, those that know their God will be strong and do great exploits. And he told me that the more you know, we know him, we're going to see great and mighty things. And so we began to see that. We began to see miracle after miracle. And so I want to encourage us that many times that we're kind of like taking steps of faith in our family or work, and it seems like it's beyond us. Maybe we always feel like we don't know enough or we didn't pray enough. Well, it's walking in the bold confidence in our relationship with the Lord. We trust that God's going to move. And I love this about Timothy. You know, Paul instructed Timothy to plant the church in Ephesus in about AD 64. And we all know that Timothy was kind of a young pastor, and he seemingly lacked some boldness. But yet, Paul encouraged him to plant that church and to lead that church. And what was Ephesus? Ephesus was one of the most wicked cities, you know, full of idol worship. And yet he puts the youngest guy there, the one that seemingly lacks the most boldness. He puts that guy there. And so what does Paul do? He encourages him. In 1 Timothy 6:12, he says, fight the good fight of faith, take hold of eternal life to which you were called and about which you have made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. So he says basically 3 things to him to encourage him. Fight the good fight, take hold of the eternal life, and have a good confession. And so there's something there that Paul's instructing Timothy that seemingly lacked boldness. He says that in order to build boldness in your life, a bold confidence, you got to fight the good fight of faith. Now, fighting the good fight, we have to understand, is a battle, and you've got to fight for that. Taking hold is taking hold of something that you're not going to let go of. It's many describe it as like you're fighting to the death. You know, you're holding on to that promise. And then the last one is having that good confession. And that good confession deals with your speech. And we all know that in order to have confidence, you need to have, you know, to speak in faith. And if you look back into the heroes of faith, you know, you look back in the Old Testament, especially you look at David, you know, when he faced Goliath, what did he say? He said, you come against me with sword and spear, but I come against you in the name of the Lord of hosts. And his words were words of faith. He had that good confession. And we need to encourage ourselves that many times we're in situations that's beyond us, beyond our capacity, but we need to begin to speak in faith. We need to begin to pray in faith. Of course, we know Daniel's 3 friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when Nebuchadnezzar wanted them to bow down, they said, we're not going to bow down. And they said that, you know, even if God, you know, doesn't come through, we're still going to worship God. We're not going to bow down to this idol. And I want to encourage us that our confession of faith is so important. In order for us to build confidence in God, it has to come forth. And so we need to confess good. You know, in your marriage, you need to confess, man, we're going to have the best marriage. Sometimes I do that and my kids get so irritated because I said, isn't it great to be a Matsuwaki? Man, it's so awesome. And they're like, shh, Dad, you're so corny. I said, come on, you know, I want to have a good confession. You know, too many couples that are married, they always say, man, marriage is hell on earth. And I said, no, it's not. You can make a heaven on earth. Come on, have a good confession. And that's so important to build a bold confidence in the Lord. So if you're always negative and you're always putting yourself down and putting people around you down, it's going to be so hard to have a bold confidence in the Lord. Amen? Come on. All right. And then the next one. It goes on in Acts 4. Then they called them and charged them and not to speak at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered them, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you rather than listen to God, you must judge, for we cannot but speak of what we have seen and heard. And when they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness. And with great power, the apostles were giving their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and great grace was upon them all. I want to encourage us here. A bold testimony is based on our experiences. In order for us to have experiences in the Lord, we have to step out in faith and keep sharing our testimony. I love this scripture in Revelation 12:11. They overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, and then loved their lives even to the death. Our testimonies are so powerful. You know, we baptized 96 people in water last year. And we baptize them, we encourage them to share their testimony. And I was so blown away by several of them, but one lady testified, and she said that somebody had invited her to the church, and she ended up going to the overflow room. She was sitting in the overflow room, and that just happened that day. I had a word of knowledge that somebody was in the room and had a pain in their back. And I said, you know, if somebody's here, has a pain in your back, put your hand on it. We're going to pray. We prayed for it. And I said, now bend over, you know, and by faith, and we believe the Lord will heal you. And she's testifying and sharing. She did that. And when she bent down and when she came up, her back was instantly healed. She had been having back pains for years. And she went to chiropractor. She went to doctors. Nobody could help her. I mean, it was a severe spinal pain. So when that happened, she realized God was real. She wasn't even a Christian yet. She received the Lord that day after service. She went for Victory Weekend. She got delivered, you know, set free and all of that. So she was so on fire. She says, I want to go and change my lifestyle. What she testified was that she was living 8 years with another woman. And she said she was so convicted by the Lord. For the first time, she felt a love of a father, which she's never felt before. And she was so consumed with the love of God, she realized that she couldn't live in this relationship anymore. Went home to her girlfriend and told her she can't live in this relationship anymore. And she says she found Jesus, and you need to find Jesus too, but I need to move out. So she moved out of the house. And let me tell you, man, everybody was in tears as she was sharing that story. And it was just so amazing. We all have a testimony to share. Don't rob people of that testimony. Come on. God's got great things in store for everyone. So we need to begin to share testimonies. And how are we going to have testimonies? We need to step out in faith, okay, and believe and speak and share, and the Lord's going to move, and then we can start sharing testimonies with others, and we reach out to others, and we see them getting saved, and then we can share the testimony. So we need to share the testimonies. Turn to your neighbor and tell them, share your testimony. Okay. Galatians 6:9, it says, let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we're going to reap if we don't give up. And this is the word I believe the Lord has for us here. You're going to reap a harvest. It's a given. God's going to grow this church. What is important is you need to begin to have bold confidence and begin to have a bold testimony to begin to share with others in order to reach the harvest that is coming. Why is that so important? Because God wants to use this city, Brisbane, to begin to reach out all over Australia. I didn't realize how big Australia was, okay, until I got here. But Australia is huge, okay? And there's so much more to reach here, but it's going beyond, okay, even to the other islands around. God's going to use you guys, and you need to see that, you know, that how he's going to do that. Now, this is a testimony. I was just a couple weeks ago in Japan, and we were with our Asian leadership team there, but I had opportunity to minister in one of our churches, and it's called Every Nation Izu. That's where they make the Izu car, Izuzus. No, it's not. Okay, but it's, man, okay, this is the church. Now, get this. They have 60 people in the church. 35 of them are adults. Okay, so the rest are kids. This building that you see, four-story building, they own it in Japan, which is like super expensive. Come on, ramen noodles is $10. That's so expensive, okay? Now get this. I'm sharing this with you to build your faith, okay? Now, this building they were renting went for auction because the owner couldn't pay, so the bank put it for auction. The Lord put an amount on the pastor's heart to bid for it, and he bid $150,000, which is crazy. Everybody is telling him, you'll never get it. $150,000, that's crazy. So they don't have the money. So what happened is through connection, they managed to get somebody to give them a loan. But he got a church loan for $200,000. Somebody, you know, he managed to get that. So somebody was telling him, you got a $200,000 loan. Why are you only bidding $150,000? He says, because the Lord put that on my heart. So he put that bid in. And when the building came up, you know, for auction, this building, you know, lot number, whatever, they have one bidder. And the one bidder was the church. And they got it for $150,000. And the extra $50,000, remember they got the loan for $200,000? Was all the extra taxes and all the other stuff they needed to use to renovate the building. And so this is such a testimony in Japan, a land that is super expensive, which should have cost millions of dollars. They got it so dirt cheap. And now the money they're paying to pay the mortgage or whatever is cheaper than the rent they used to pay. Can you imagine that? So all of this, you know, to say that a church of 35 adults bought a building. Come on. How many are here? Come on. Nothing's impossible. I mean, we've seen it happen in Singapore. It can happen here. And this is it. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind can conceive what God has prepared for those that love him. I'm believing for breakthrough. I'm believing for great and mighty things here. But you got to begin to stretch your faith. Come on. It can't just be the faith of a few. Of the pastors or leaders. No, it's got to be all of us together believing. Can you see yourself leading other people to Christ? Can you see yourself sharing and praying for someone and they have a dramatic breakthrough in their life and you can share that testimony and that testimony excites a whole family and that whole family ends up to uncles, brothers, you know, I know this part of the island, the families are so huge, okay? You can reach half the Australia. Everybody's almost related. No, just kidding. Okay, but come on, you got to begin to get excited. Come on, are you excited? All right, let's stand up together. I'm going to close in prayer. Thank you, Lord.
We hope you've enjoyed today's message brought to you by Every Nation Brisbane. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at ianbrisbane.org. Thank you for listening. God bless.